Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are when you are listening, this is the Monsters and Friends podcast. I am your host, as always, Michael Patrick. I wanted to say that I was so excited about doing a weekly podcast. I even have a very intriguing cryptid lined up for the podcast this week, and I'm super, super stoked to talk about it. The issue, however, is that I decided in all of my infinite wisdom last week to get into a fight with my daughter's bunk beds, and unfortunately, I lost. I took a pretty wicked shot to the dome, and I gave myself a nice little concussion. So to say the least, I was on the dragon wagon last week. It wasn't really that fun. And to boot, Barry is still on vacation. I assume that he'd have been back this week to carry the load, but no, of course, he's still out there in the world. Not only that, he has decided that he wants to play a game. He wants me to guess where he's currently visiting, and the message that he left on his answering machine says, "I'm somewhere mellow, with tasty food, and it's green." There's a lot of questions in that statement. What's green? Is it the food? Is it the place that's mellow? I don't get it. So, I mean, he might be in Oregon. Maybe he's in Louisiana. Maybe somehow he got a passport and he ended up in Ireland. I have absolutely no idea. I do wonder, though, where he got his answering machine. I mean, it still has the tape and everything, you know, with the little buttons that you got to press and the click, 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 click. You know, it's so strange, but I guess either way, I'm super excited about making the switch to a weekly podcasting show. With that being said, I'm always hoping and I'm always inviting you to feel free to send along suggestions of cryptids, legends, and lores that you want to hear about, and more than likely, they'll go ahead and get added to the rotation at some point. This week is a pretty interesting cryptid that I actually stumbled upon, and I really can't wait to share it with you. But before I get into that, of course, let's talk a bit about some housekeeping and stuff. Earlier in the year, we launched the Monsters and Friends podcast website. So if you head to monstersandfriends.wordpress.com, you can actually find links where to download all of our episodes. You can read some blog posts that have a little bit of additional information about some of our monster friends. And over time, there'll just be some more fun and interesting things posted to the website. So make sure to check it out once in a while. And you can get a little bit more information about some of the cryptids that we're talking about. I'll also make sure that I'll note whenever something new is posted. So I'll either throw it out on Twitter, @MNFPod, maybe throw it on Instagram, @MonstersAndFriends, or, you know, throw it on the Facebook page or send out one of those email things. Also, if you have decided that you absolutely love the show and you really want to support it, we've jumped on the train and we've set up a Patreon page. Now, there are different tiers on there that we'll look at another time. But if you want to support us, head on over to patreon.com and it's /or/ Monsters and Friends. I don't know. There's some sort of slash, right? Either way, you can head on over there and explore the different tiers and see what we will have to offer and just see if any of it moves you. So if you have any questions or just want to say how much you love us, just feel free to let us know. And lastly, the best way to support us here on the Monsters and Friends podcast is to please make sure that you rate and review the pod. You go ahead and throw up that 5-star rating, tell us what you like and hit submit, and then bam. It's honestly the best way to help the show out, and I would be indebted to you until at least next Friday. So you are what drives this podcast, and even if you don't want to use the Patreon, which is totally fine, subscribing, downloading, reading, and reviewing helps just as much. Now with all that out of the way, I'm going to invite you to kick your feet up, warm your little toesies by the fire, and listen to the soothing sounds this week's cryptid, the Lone Pine Mountain Devil. So, background info time, I love telling a little bit about me. I grew up in the great state of New Jersey. It's the Garden State. It's beautiful, surprisingly so. There's more than just people in New Jersey. It's home to some pretty amazing things. And we'll just, let's see, what are some of the amazing things? So you got the fist pump, right? Yeah, fist pump, woo-woo. You got the New Jersey Turnpike, if you've never driven on there. You don't know what you're missing. Obviously, the hit HBO show, The Sopranos. It also has amazing pizza that's making my mouth water as we talk about it. And, of course, New Jersey is home to the Jersey Devil. So the Jersey Devil is the goat-faced flying horse creature that calls the Pine Barrens of southern New Jersey home. There's been sightings of this strange creature for generations, and much how like Loch Ness has counterparts all over the world, the Jersey Devil is no different. He has a counterpart, but it actually lives out on the West Coast. Normally with a podcast, I would start with saying, of course, this week we're talking about, but let's be real here. Not many people have probably heard of this creature, so kick back, relax, and let's find a little bit about our new cryptid friend, the Lone Pine Mountain Devil, or, as somehow referred to it, the California Mountain Devil. Copycats. This creature, or sometimes described as multiple creatures, calls the southwestern United States and parts of northern Mexico home. There's a few strange things about this creature, and we're going to go ahead and just kind of touch upon a couple of those here. So when talking about this creature, or creatures, as some have put it, there are two or three very distinct differences about their appearance. Some have said that this looks very similar to some sort of microraptor. They've been described as having many rows of sharp teeth, bird-like wings, and sharp talons that can tear through human flesh. Sounds kind of like some other animals, but we'll get into that later. However, the description is pretty similar to some sort of microraptor, and some of the microraptors have been known to grow about the size of an ostrich. I'm going to go ahead and make sure that I post some of the different pictures on the website to go along with some of these descriptions, so you can follow along and see what they look like. More commonly, though, this creature is described as being a large, furry, bat-like creature. It's said that the Lone Pine Mountain Devil also has numerous sets of leathery wings with sharp talons adorning the end so that it rips apart its prey. So kind of imagine like an octobat, minus like tentacles, I guess. It also, though, has numerous layers of razor-sharp teeth, and these teeth are suspected to be poisonous. Oh, I'm sorry, venomous, not poisonous. My bad. They are identifiable to venomous creatures, however, like a snake or a Gila monster. A Gila monster? Either way, the nasty, gross, snarly little thing with lots of rows of teeth that carry bacteria that are disgusting. There are also other descriptions that make this creature seem like some sort of pterodactyl or thunderbird-like creature, but if I had to guess, I would assume that's just some sort of cross-pollination of a few different creature descriptions that have kind of been blended into just one. There's some very interesting pictures that, again, I'll make sure I post to the blog, but there's actually one picture, I believe in the late 1800s, of a group of men who supposedly caught one of these creatures and killed it, and it looks very much like a pterodactyl. One of the more intriguing aspects of the entire Lone Pine Mountain Devil story, though, is also its motivation. The Mountain Devil is a real eco-advocate. It's actually believed that if someone heads out into the Inyo Mountains or the Sierra Nevadas, and they leave a mess, or if they destroy part of the land, or they harm any of the animals out there, that the Lone Pine Mountain Devil will pay you a visit. Its motivation is very much to keep its land at peace and to not be disturbed or destroyed. There's not many other cryptids out there that have such a valiant disposition, but honestly, I feel like just putting one of those annoying orange stickers on their car window would probably be a better tactic than, you know, ripping off their face. But hey, that's just me. I guess that's why I'm not a Lone Pine Mountain Devil, right? I'm just a podcast host. There has been a lot of discussion about this creature, though, dating back a few hundred years. Well, potentially. We'll get into more about that a little bit later, too. The first sightings of the Lone Pine Mountain Devil date back to the mid to late 1800s when there was a lot of westward expansion and there was a lot of folks moving out towards Nevada and California. Occasionally along the trail, you'd find the dead, decaying, and rotting corpses of travelers, prospectors, and unfortunately their families. These bodies would generally have their faces eaten off and they would be completely unrecognizable, obviously since their face was eaten off. However, their torsos were usually eaten and kind of wide open, and it was just generally an empty dead body. They'd have cuts and scratches on what little sun-dried or frozen skin that was there that was described as being cut deep through the muscle and all the way down to the bone. So whatever cut these had very sharp talons, sharp teeth, knife, nose. Probably the most detailed account of one of these attacks, though, came from a priest in 1878. Well, it came from his journal, anyway. So, the Spanish priest, or possibly the next name for my new creator wrestler character on WWE 19, Father Justice Martinez, was traveling with a wagon full of Spanish immigrants. In the group, there was a total of 37 men, women, and children that were traveling through the Sierra Nevada Mountains. Along their journey, they had decided to celebrate a saint named Saint Roderick. During the celebration, apparently the settlers got a little cray-cray, and they started to get really weird. It turned into a giant riotous orgy, where the settlers were having a bit too much fun, and they started setting fires to trees around the camp in order to stay warm and to provide them with a light source. I mean, come on, let's be real. You can't orgy in the dark after all. Anyway, when they were doing this, Father Justice said he was just chilling in his tent a small ways away, watching, of course, when suddenly from the trees flocked what he described as little winged demons. They descended upon the camp and laid waste to everyone that was there. Men, women, and unfortunately children. Good old Father Justice, though, at that point, hid himself away in his tent and he waited for the massacre to end. When it did, he got himself out of the Sierra Nevadas and he somehow ended up at a Spanish mission somewhere north of San Diego. When he arrived, he was severely dehydrated, he hadn't eaten in who knows how long, and he also had decided to take a vow of silence after witnessing this terrible act and what he could only imagine was a punishment from the Almighty himself. He did, however, have a journal with him, and he did in fact write about his experience. In the journal, he stated, my God, they are all gone. The winged demons have risen. What sin they committed against each other and thy sacred earth. May the forgiving Lord not abandon their souls, which were taken from them into the depths of hell. And through the earthly fires of man, a soul tree remained on the mountain's peak, and the devils that spared me returned to the refuge of the lone pine of the mountain. Needless to say, the good Father Justice wasn't the same ever again after that experience. A matter of months later, though, some prospectors were in the area of where they had their rager, and they found the charred bushes and 37 dead, decaying bodies. There have been quite a number of sightings over the last decade and a half or so, as people have reported seeing the winged beast or beasts throughout the Inyo Mountains. Specifically, people claim to have had the most activity somewhere west of Lone Pine, California. It's an area in the Alabama Hills along Whitney Portal Road heading up to Mount Whitney. Thanks to Weird California for that approximate location, so if you are a listener of this podcast and you live near there, go scope it out and let us know what you find. If you send us a picture, we'll send you a sticker, but only if you find the monster. Just kidding. But honestly, there have been some reported sightings recently after falling off the proverbial map for a few decades. The creature, however, is very intriguing to me. The reason is that there are quite a few potential explanations for what this California cryptid might actually be. The most common theory that I've seen while reading the interwebs is exactly that. It's no more than an invention of the interwebs that has just kind of exploded and grown. It explains why sightings have really taken off, pun intended, about seeing the Lone Pine Mountain Devil. You figure once it hits the internet, people claim to see it, and it just kind of grows. One of the crazy things, though, or one of the more difficult things, I should say, is it's really hard to track down any real data about Father Justice Martinez or the death of the 37 travelers massacred by this creature. I wasn't able to find a whole lot of information about Father Justice Martinez, and I actually jumped on Ancestry and tried to see if I couldn't find some more information. There were quite a few Justice Martinez born in the Southwest around the mid to late 1800s, so it's a little sketchy to try to find out. Not only that, one of the other things that I think kind of puts a question mark over this is that there is also a tribe of Native Americans that have a reservation in Lone Pine. You'd think with a tribe out there, there'd be more mention of lore surrounding the Lone Pine Mountain Devil. Our Native American population is one of our best record keepers, and they're amazing storytellers. So you think if it was not mentioned there, that it would become pretty doubtful. However, if you are a listener and you know someone out near Lone Pine that's a part of that community, please let me know. I've also sent them a message to see if I can hear anything else, and if I do, I'll make sure to update this. Another possible explanation is that this creature is similar to Nessie or Champ. Some believe that the Lone Pine Mountain Devil is in fact some sort of Microraptor species that has somehow survived millions of years living out there in the Sierra Nevadas. As someone that's never been there, but I've heard a lot about how beautiful it is, I mean, they picked a pretty beautiful area for to hide out and not be found by anybody. And as stated before, it's also believed that this creature only attacks those that destroy or hurt its habitat. I am in no way a dinosaur expert, but I'd imagine that dinosaurs are similar to other territorial animals in that they were probably pretty territorial, and if somebody was destroying somewhere where Old Blue lived, I'd venture a guess that they would probably try and stop that. However, what are the odds that a dinosaur has actually survived for millions of years, fairly undiscovered in the outback of the southwestern United States? I'd say that the chance of that is fairly slim, but as I always say, you can never be sure, and we don't really know. Finally, what I find most plausible is that it's a combination of things. I believe that there could be some sort of undiscovered bird that calls the southwestern United States home. I do not believe, however, that it's some sort of murderous dinosaur, but every day we discover new species, so who really knows? Who's to say that some crazy species of condor or vulture that we haven't really seen lives mostly undisturbed somewhere out in the Sierra Nevadas? People moving out to the West Coast during the Gold Rush and subsequently afterwards faced a lot of hardships. Some of these hardships were probably things that could help perpetrate this story. They didn't really have the best healthcare plans as they went out there, and they really didn't also have an urgent care that they could go to if somebody got sick. When somebody died, they were just generally left on the side of the trail. You know, I can't even begin to tell you how many times that I buried Wolverine as a kid playing Oregon Trail and just prayed that no one else on the wagon train got dysentery. But back to the matter at hand, if you were lucky, you might get a shallow grave dug and a marker to tell other travelers who you were, but generally that wasn't something that stuck around too long. A lot of time these markers were made out of two sticks tied together or a piece of wood off of the wagon, so it's free firewood for somebody, and a lot of times if they found that, they would use it. There were also a lot of scavengers that probably pulled human remains out of the burial sites, and they snacked on them too. I mean, it's like the golden corral of the animal kingdom. You have such a variety, right? That's so wrong. And it's reported that the Lone Pine Mountain Devil mostly went for the soft tissue areas like the guts and the face. That is exactly what a vulture would do when eating whatever it found. One of the most astonishing facts that I ever learned was that turkey vultures' favorite points of entry for snacking were the face and the butthole. It'll eat whatever is easiest to get to and then bounce before a mountain lion or a golem shows up to finish the feast. The Lone Pine Mountain Devil really sounds like a creature straight out of your nightmares, though. It's a large, leathery, although sometimes furry creature that preyed on the innocent travelers of the Old West. How easy would that legend be to get started, especially in the 1800s? You know, I'm pretty sure iPhones didn't have cameras back then, and I don't know if Reddit was really that big yet. So when Earl heard a story, you know, he told Bucky over a pint at the saloon, and then it spread out from there. Legends and lores always spread like wildfire. It's easy to see how you could misidentify some of these giant birds that you could see from a distance then. I'm sure sometimes old Earl was out there, and when he was riding his horse, he saw some sort of giant vulture, and it seemed huge. Also, imagine that you live in New York or Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and you're out in California and you see a California condor for the first time. If you've never seen a California condor, when they fly, they can look huge. Now you can see how legends like the Thunderbird and the Mountain Devil might have come to be. While this is a great tale and could potentially be also be an amazing cover-up for gangs or thugs robbing and murdering unsuspecting wagon trains, it's more than likely something that's not true. However, like we always say, we really don't know. Someday someone might snag one of these, and then we'll all know that it's real and tell them that we're sorry. However, until then, it's a fun story to tell, and there are some pretty amazing videos and photos out there speaking about the Lone Pine Mountain Devil. If you're out in the Sierra Nevadas, though, be weary of a flying devil that's just jonesing to make you a part of its legend. So I completely stumbled upon this cryptid by accident, and much like most other cryptids, it led me down some amazing and enthralling rabbit hole. If you're bored and looking for something to do, please wiki a cryptid and see what other cryptids are suggested. There are hundreds of them out there. Generally, though, I would give yourself 2 to 3 hours because you're definitely going to need it. Also, if you ever get on cryptids.wikia, it's also pretty fun to explore, as is the mysterious universe. There's a lot of good information out there and a lot of really exciting stuff. However, once again, that brings us to the conclusion of this amazing monster hunt. We unfortunately didn't find the Lone Pine Mountain Devil, but we found a priest with a sick name and some interesting stories about a creature that's destroyed many a life. And while that's all for this week, we'll be back next Tuesday with another exciting trip down Cryptid Lane. So one of the things that I think we're going to do on this podcast now is we're going to try to travel to all 50 states. And my goal is to try to find some sort of cryptid from each of those states. So what I would really, really love for you to do is out there on the Twitter or the Instagram or Facebook or email, whatever the case is, please, wherever you're from, tweet at me, DM me, whatever. Let me know what cryptids are known for your state. Please try to avoid the Bigfoots and the Chupacabra. Tell me about some of the local lores and legends that I might be able to do a little bit of research on and figure out what's there. So the best way to do that, of course, is to reach out on the Twitterverse. You can always find us on there at MNFPod. You can check out our Instagram at Monsters and Friends. Or if you search the Facebook machine, you can drop a line on there too. All you have to do is search for Monsters and Friends Podcast, and voila, there we are. No matter what you do, we are incredibly thankful for everything and every single one of you. And 2019 is still far from over, so it's shaping up to be a fantastic year. But please feel free, and please, please, please subscribe, download, rate, and review the podcast. And you know what? Maybe tell a few friends about it. Or retweet it, or yeah, I don't know. Tell everyone on the bus right now. Just go ahead and hit pause and say, hey, listen to the Monsters and Friends podcast. I mean, you could record it too, post it on Twitter. Either way, whatever you feel moved to do, just please keep spreading that love. We appreciate you so, so much. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for stopping by. And don't you worry, we will chat again real soon.